Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Well, are you sleeping at the wheel?
Sorry. I went somewhere else. You want to try that again?
No, that's okay. Okay. Well, we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw on the wisdom of the saints to help us to navigate this crazy life that we live. And we have a question about someone who's struggling with where is God?
Okay. So, where did it go? I can't see it. I can't even see it on there.
It's what causes it.
Let's what see. Causes. Okay, there here it is. Okay. Sorry, there's a lot of
somebody
words on this page.
Somebody get this woman some caffeine.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. What causes the loss of the sense of God when living a sacramental life and avoiding sin? I've been wandering in the arid desert for decades, and I can't seem to encounter God in prayer.
Okay, so let's do a little diagnosis. The loss of the sense of God, when living a sacramental life and avoiding sin. So I think we can assume that her spiritual life is healthy. Life is healthy, and that there's no problems there. That's often a problem with aridity. The absence of the presence, perceived presence of God is called aridity, and it's often caused by neglect of spiritual disciplines or sin. But this person is saying, is indicating they're living a healthy, you know, life of the faith.
According to what they know, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, that requires a deeper conversation, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we can touch on that a little bit. One of the reasons in our spiritual direction program, the Heart of Christ School, that we require people to take a moral theology course, as an example, is because most Catholics don't know their moral theology. And so sometimes, and even, you know, when people come for healing work, I think I asked you the other day, how many times did they come to you in prayer for healing and liberation, that sort of thing, and they discovered a sin that was unconfessed, that was serious? Mm-hmm. You said every time. Mm-hmm. So there's two issues there. There's an issue of awareness, and then there's an issue of understanding.
Right.
And so a lot of Catholics don't understand their moral Catholic moral teaching.
Right.
They don't know what an intrinsic evil was. When I met you, you thought contracepting was okay, and that's mm-hmm. actually a mortal sin. Mm-hmm. So that's just an example. So one, right. You got to make sure you understand the faith. We'll assume the best here, but
yeah, and I think to be clear, when we're talking about those that have come regarding that question that you asked me about those that have come for healing and deliverance, when I say that, it's not generally like a big old sin, like they went and robbed a bank kind of thing.
And they just remembered it.
And it's like, oh, I had forgotten all about me robbing that bank at gunpoint when I was 15.
Yeah. No,
that's not generally it. It's generally some area of unforgiveness.
That's the most common.
But they would intellectually believe that they had forgiven. Mm-hmm. And people will sit there and say, I've done the work. I've done the work. I've forgiven. But through that process of discernment and going through it, it is incredible what the Lord reveals. Mm-hmm. And then you say, oh, no, I thought I had.
Yeah.
But I'm still carrying that.
Yeah,
I'm still carrying that. Or there's this, oh, but I was having this conversation and it was, I was listening to the pain of another, and they didn't realize that they were engaging in gossip mm-hmm. and detraction and calumny, because that's a, you know, so things like this where people don't understand that when the Lord calls us to holiness and when he calls us to be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect, we're talking down to the minutiae of our behavior, yeah. Not in a legalistic way, but in eradicating those bad habits, bad generational practices, or we were taught to behave this way, or everybody in our family acted this way, or whatever, that has kept us in a place where we're not free, where the Lord's grace is really just able to run with us because we're holding on to something or some sort of baggage, right?
Yeah. So what we're doing, you know, as she and I are, Stephanie and I are having this conversation, is if we had a person in front of us, we wouldn't just assume that, well, if they said, well, I don't have a sin problem, we wouldn't go, oh, that's great, moving on. Mm-hmm. We would say, well, what does that mean? What is sin? What's the difference between mortal and venial sin? Mm-hmm. Do you understand what intrinsic evil is?
What do you struggle with? You know, what do you struggle with? Where, you know, where are your thoughts when you first wake up in the morning?
Yeah.
You know, are they on that, on your ex-husband who, you know, how he's ruined your life and your finances and your health? You know, okay, well then that's, you know, not true forgiveness, right?
So that would be one thing. And then it says, I've been wandering in the arid desert for decades. I can't seem to encounter God in prayer. So there's a couple of issues here. What kind of prayer? How are you praying? You know, if you're practicing a discipline of mental prayer and you're not allowing distractions to take you away from it and you're being faithful to it daily and you've been doing that for years, and it, let's assume it's healthy.
Under the guidance of a spiritual director.
Right. Let's assume it's healthy. I can't seem to encounter God in prayer indicates a striving for something that's not your business to strive for. She'll say it nicer than me, but it's you're exiting out. You're saying, I want this feeling. And that's, it's a dangerous thing. It's dangerous for a couple of reasons. One, the enemy could give it to you when you're striving for it. Or two, you could get frustrated or upset with God when it's not anything that he's promised us. And in fact, what may be happening to you, assuming all the best, is that in the later purgative stage, when you're past habitual mortal and venial sin, when you're past habitual mortal and venial sin, that means you're not going to confession for the same thing over and over again, you know, in near succession. And you've been praying for years and your sacramental life is sound. What often the Lord will do, and it's where the realm of John of the Cross, is take you through a deeper kind of purgation wherein he removes all sensory feelings that you would like, that are pleasurable. And he takes you into the desert. What's the desert like? The desert is called a desert because it's arid, it's dry. There's not a lot of life. There's not a lot of water. It's difficult. It's hard to find, you know, what you need for your sustenance. But the reason he takes us into the desert is to purify our love, to teach us to come to a place of love where we're not expecting something back from him, because of course he's given us everything and he owes us nothing.
We desire the giver of the gifts, not the gifts themselves.
But this question could indicate that opposite is happening,
right?
Or some combination thereof, right? That's a little imbalanced. So the key is understanding, is finding a spiritual director who knows this transition from the purgative to the illuminative to help you dissect. I teach a course in the Avila Institute called Foundations of Prayer and Union with God, where I go into this transition in some depth. But you can also find the details in Ascent of Mount Carmel, John of the Cross book, I think it's book 2, chapter 13, in that realm of his writings too. But the one key question is, do you desire to pray? And if you're in aridity and you desire to pray, that is, and all the other things are good and right, then that's what we would call likely contemplative aridity.
Could be.
If the aridity causes you to move away from God and you don't desire to pray, that's rooted in something demonic or destructive.
Yeah, oppressive or something that needs to be rooted out in healing or, you know, given over to a spiritual director to discern with you. The piece that I find interesting here is the word decades.
Yeah, that's a
long time. Normative.
Yeah.
That's not normative for the aridity. That's the transitional.
Certainly been my experience.
You know, but you've transitioned, right? So I'm talking about those people that are in the transition. To be stuck for decades in aridity is not it's not normative. It generally is after about a year or so of really deep prayer with a spiritual direction, they might have that for a while. But again, like it's really hard to diagnose this, not speaking to them. But that word decades is interesting. So, you got to talk to your spiritual director.
Yeah, I would do that.
Okay.
The other course that I teach that could help you is spiritual warfare and discernment of spirits.
Yeah.
That's especially if your aridity causes you to not want to pray or draw. That's an indicator of the bad spirits messing with you.
If your prayer is a prayer of centering prayer, mindfulness, that's an issue too.
Yeah.
So it's just really requires a lot more conversation
and
diagnosis here. Okay. What's another question you want to tackle?
The difference between life coaching and spiritual direction. It's an interesting issue that's becoming more and more common. A lot of psychologists are getting into the realm of life coaching.
Influencers are getting into this area. Yeah,
life coaching. Life coaching is about organizing yourself to optimize your humanity. I think that's probably a good way to say it. So learning how to be a better steward of your time, talents, and resources. And spiritual direction is about discerning God's will and understanding how to follow God's will.
It's about the interior
life. About the interior life. And so, I wouldn't, I was going to say something and I realized that would kind of rule you out when I first lured you into giving spiritual direction to people. But you don't have to go to a school to be a director. But of course, if you have the charism with the school, that's the best because you're backing up the calling of God with the formation you need to understand the interior life. But I you're not going to get that kind of thing through a coaching school.
For a life coach. Life coaching is one thing. Spiritual direction is another. Mm-hmm. Can they work very well in conjunction with each other? Sure.
Sure. Yeah.
Given that, if it's a really great life coach that's not focused on, the things of the world, right?
Yeah.
That they're actually truly Catholic, but they are two different things. Can they work together?
Sure.
Absolutely. And they should serve one another, because whatever you're being asked to do as a life coach shouldn't be working against your interior life.
Right.
But the most important thing is the salvation of your soul.
Yeah.
So
well said.
Okay.
How about we go to a break?
Oh, let's do that.
Okay. We'll be right back.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father, so there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. Those sorts of things. Even desolation. The day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life. Those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
This is Dan Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. We're talking about the interior life and questions about that. So I have one for you. You ready?
Okay.
How does daily mass attendance affect spiritual progress? I sometimes feel guilty when I don't go, given the relative availability of daily mass in my area, and even though I'm still praying daily.
Ah, okay. Okay. So there's a word right in that little tiny question that's super important that needs to be rooted out.
What's that?
Guilty.
I don't know. Maybe it's the good spirit saying, hey, you should be gone.
The Lord does not invoke guilt.
You don't think,
what he about convicts? Yeah, he does different? Not condemn. Guilt is that's not of the Lord, especially because we're talking about daily mass. We're not talking about Sunday mass.
Yeah.
It would be appropriate to feel extraordinarily bad if you were not going to Sunday mass, right, and you were not making those efforts because, you know, sin. I'm tired. You know, my kids have a soccer game. You know, I'd rather sit on my couch and eat chips and watch the football game. Okay, there is a problem.
Yeah. Right?
That's one thing. And we need to get that rightly ordered. Daily mass is not required. It's just a beautiful, holy thing to do. If it doesn't contradict your state of life, yeah, like if I was going to daily mass to the detriment of my relationship with my husband, and, you know, he was asking things of me and wanted good, holy things, and I'm here to help him, but I'm like, you know, you got to hold on because I got to go to daily mass and I'll check you later, then that's not a rightly ordered thing. If all those things are good and we're being called to daily mass, the way it affects us is because of who we're going to see. We're going to see Jesus. Mm-hmm. Okay. If I go and sit with Jesus, truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, if he feeds me with his body, blood, soul, and divinity through the hands of the priest, if I sit in his presence and I pray, if I'm engaging with the most important act of prayer, this side of heaven, which is the holy sacrifice of the mass, will it increase my sanctity? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. If I'm properly disposed, if I'm not in a state of mortal sin, it is going to affect my sanctity. It's going to every holy reception of the Eucharist washes away venial sin. It strengthens us for the journey. It strengthens us against venial sin and mortal sin. So we are cleansed. We're more filled with the Lord. And every time we're filled with the Lord, then that grace that we've received, his presence, we become living tabernacles going out into the world to love and serve those he's entrusted mm-hmm. to us. So it is absolutely transformative. I've had a number of spiritual directees who, when life circumstances allowed it, and they started to make that practice, first we'd say, you know, why not try one extra mass a week? They would do that. And then they started to feel the grace and, oh, boy, this, you know, this feels good. I feel better. I feel stronger. I feel more spiritually alert and awake, and I'm growing in holiness and virtue. Then they'll desire more and more. And I find it to be truly addictive. Like something's wrong when I don't get to be with the Lord, when I don't get to receive him. So guilt is not there. It's not necessary. It's not good. So push away the guilt, but as you can, according to the availability, according to your state of life and your physical ability to go as often as you can, receive those graces, and you'll be better off for it by loads.
Yeah. I always think, you know, if folks have the opportunity to go to mass more frequently and they don't take it, that they have a profound profoundly impoverished understanding of what is yes. going on in the holy sacrifice of the mass.
It's not a burden for your time.
Yeah. Every time somebody has habitual sin that I come in contact, specifically serious sin, you know, the first thing I'm going to do is say frequent confession, frequent Eucharist. Those are the greatest sources of grace this side of heaven mm-hmm. to help us to grow spiritually. So,
okay.
There you go.
Next question.
Okay, you can ask that one.
Okay. What if you are separated because your spouse was leading you to sin and have grown stronger in your faith apart? That's a quagmire of a question.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
We don't know enough here to really speak to this question.
It's a dangerous question.
It is. It is a very dangerous question.
Right.
Right. Now, separation is allowed in extreme cases
yeah.
where one or the other spouse is in you know, in
very destructive,
super, super destructive behavior or whatever. But it's not, you know, it's not God's will.
Right.
It is not God's will to be separated from your spouse normally under normative circumstances. Now, if you know, there's just so much here, right? Because leading you to sin, nobody can lead you to sin. You have to cooperate with sin.
Right.
You know, so if Dan decides to go rob a bank and says, come with me, I don't have to follow. And so if I'm not strong enough in my own spiritual practices that I'm capitulating to sin, that's, you know, that's a, then I need to, you know, get right with the Lord. Both spouses need to be right with the Lord. And what I would say is you need to come to a marriage retreat.
Yeah.
But together or separately, because we've even had, we did have one woman, she said, my husband can't make it. Can I come alone? And it's not normative, but we said, sure. And it affected her so much. The next year she was there with her husband. Yeah. So it just kind of woke things up and shook out some of the leaves and the fogginess of what was happening in their relationship, and they came back. So, you know, there's just too much here, and you can't,
deeper than that.
You can't confirm somebody in this and without really understanding what's going on.
Yeah.
But it is, the Lord wants to heal you in and through your marriage. He loves your marriage. He wants it to be restored. And if we think about the revelations to the children at Fatima, Sister Lucia said, in the end, the battle will be against family, family and marriage. So if you don't think all of hell is trying to break up your marriage, you're delusional.
You know, another thing about that, I think that people... most, actually, I would say 99.9% of Catholics don't know, is that apart from the Eucharist and reconciliation, the greatest graces a married couple can receive is in and through their sacramental marriage.
Yeah.
It is
a sacrament. It brings grace.
Yeah. We always talk about at the beginning of our marriage retreats that an exorcist asked us to assist him. And the reason he gave shocked us both. I mean, we were in that 99% until he said what he said. And he said, I want you to help to participate in the exorcism because the way you live your life and your
marriage
will protect me as an exorcist in the rite.
It was absolutely shocking.
Yeah.
You know, and it is really propelled our own, I think, doggedness about the importance of marriage and the sacrament of marriage. It affected our own, the way we lived it out. I think it became more, just all the more at the fore of, we're not going to let the devil come in here.
Yeah.
We're going to fight towards one another and not allow the enemy to destroy us or to tear us down. That doesn't mean there aren't terrible difficulties, but the Lord loves you as individuals. He loves your marriage, and He wants to do something profound in and through it.
Yeah, one of the other
things. But you got to fight for that.
One of the other things we say in the retreat that I think is inspired, if I might be so bold, is this. It's a saying that I have the spouse I have. Because I need the spouse I have for my salvation.
Yeah.
However incredibly difficult that can be.
Right.
And there are some cases where when there's abuse, we're not saying, you know, that you don't separate in that sense. You know, that's different.
Yeah, we're not talking about occasional bouts of anger and yelling and having a few fits here and there. We're talking life in danger.
Physical harm. That
yeah,
sort of
life
thing.
In danger kind of abuse.
Sexual abuse.
Yeah, those kind of things. But there are so many resources. So check out Divine Intimacy and Marriage Retreats.
Where at can they find that?
They can find that at spiritualdirection.com/events.
There you go.
Next one is, well, it's, I'm time stamping this podcast, but we will be having some upcoming in the Northeast area, yeah. Trinidad, you know, around the world. So check those out. Keep an eye on that. And then there are just, there's a number of other resources, good Holy Catholic resources. So what I want to say is don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. You know, we've had people come through here and where the one spouse wasn't cooperating, but the other was, and they received profound healing, went back. We continued to coach and work with them. And they are now, after almost 2 years, reconciled. The divorce proceeding was stopped. And they're planning on attending a marriage retreat coming up.
Yeah.
And all of heaven is rejoicing.
Yeah.
And their children will now witness what it means when you hit a trial, you don't give up and run.
Yeah.
You find a way through because you made a vow to God and each other, and you believe in the power of God to heal and restore.
And even divorce is no point of no return. We know several couples who have actually divorced and then remarried, which is a beautiful thing to hear about. When, you know, we're all broken, we're all humans trying to figure things out, and we often don't do the right thing. But God be praised, we have a God of forgiveness,
of healing,
of healing. And there's always a road. There's always a way to follow him. And we just need to say yes. And he'll help us to figure that out and cry out to him. So we're grateful to have you with us on Divine Intimacy Radio. We're grateful to EWTN for allowing us to air this show on their networks all over the United States and the world. And we're grateful to you for listening and supporting us. And with that, we're out of time.
Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.